browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our issue today, how to identify a Christian American, or better yet, what about Christian nationalism? Are you a Christian nationalist? That's a term that's used by the woke culture today. That's a term that's used by the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party. It is to be a demeaning term, a dissuading term, an undermining term against Christians to keep Christians silent, to make pastors be silent, to keep Christians from standing for moral, ethical truth in the political vein today. I think that is a shame, but that is nevertheless what it is. As a Christian nationalist, ladies and gentlemen, we stand against transgenderism. It's butchering of the body. It is ungodly. We stand against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda today. We stand against abortion, which is murder, according to the scripture. We stand against wasteful, fraudulent abuse in the government today. We stand against sexualization of our children in the schools today. As Christian nationalists, we stand against voting theft at the polls, which is taking place on a rampant scale. We stand against the illegal invaders coming. Ladies and gentlemen, as Christian nationalists, we stand against the immoral, ungodly, unholy material that's found in our students' textbooks in schools, both in Florida and across the nation. Many of the schools trying to undermine, circumvent the new rules and regulations are the State Department, U.S. Department of Education, handed down by executive orders by President Trump. And we have James on the line. James is going to talk about that some. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you try to call in and the line's busy, we have limited telephone lines, so keep calling. Don't give up. We still would love to talk with you. James, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Glory to God. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, to the listening audience, don't think that our voices don't matter. And whether you can go in person or whether you can be a miniature keyboard warrior, the sword, the word of God cuts like a sword. It's a double-edged sword.
That's right.
Living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, able to discern thought from intention, bone from marrow. And I would just tell you to take heart in the fact that we have a champion for Christ in Dr. Youngblood. And thank you for what you do. I was just going to give
the listening
audience...
Thank you for those kind remarks. Go ahead.
It's a privilege, and it's true. The listening audience, if you can make it to the school board meeting, do it. Tonight, they're going to go over something that's near and dear to my heart, that 16 months ago, I got to witness my wife's microphone getting shut off at the Duval County Public School Board meeting. Dr. Green was the superintendent at that time. And she was asked, you know, ma'am, you can't say those things in here. And she said, you know, the hypocrisy of this can be in a middle and a high school public library and guidance counselor's office, but I can't read these in public. You got to scratch your head and wonder, but you can't make this stuff up. Mm-hmm. And there's not enough brave people, teachers, people being that watchman on the wall like you are, Dr. Youngblood, like my wife Lori did. That same meeting, my neighbor, who happened to be my ride, because I came from a different part of town, and my wife was working and so forth, and I rode with him. He was escorted out by the police. Now, yours truly, I read from, and you can look back at the public record because it's all televised and recorded. I think I read from Deuteronomy 32:2, and I encourage the board members, Dr. Green, and all the board members at that time to repent and understand that what they were doing was not only criminal, worldly criminal, but it was a sin against God. And it was horrific to do this to these little children. I think I might have mentioned something about, you know, better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around your neck, but I can't, I might be embellishing that. But I want to address something really, really quickly for the audience. You should be proud to declare yourself a Christian national and look up the definition of it.
Amen.
Your first love should be Jesus Christ and the Lord Almighty. That's our first love. But there's nothing wrong with being very fond of the country that you're in and protecting it. God gave us this, our founding fathers, that we were one nation under God. But because of our silence and turning our back on our duties, because we have requirements and civic duties to that, we've seen it little by little get taken away. And it will wake up. I probably won't live to witness it. But pull out the Quran and look at what the Muslim faith is told. You have a couple choices. You can convert the non-believer, you can enslave the non-believer, or you can kill the non-believer. Show me in the New Testament where Jesus says we should do any of that to the people that don't believe in him. No, they don't. He lets it know that it's not going to be good. Anybody that is wishing now, going to buy a lotto ticket and become a millionaire, and then my life will change, you've already won the eternal lottery. Jesus mm-hmm. Christ died for our sins. I think one of the biggest verses, and one of my friends who's a ministry a missionary in Uganda said, 2 Corinthians 5:21 is what they're studying. Think about it. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We've already won.
Amen.
All we have to do is stand firm, stand up, and give the gift that he has given to us. Pride cometh before the fall. That's true. But pointing people to Christ and being brave enough to stand up for the truth and seek the truth and speak the truth and walk it out, as you so eloquently put it, every single day of your life that you're on the radio, needs to be not just heard, but walked out and acted upon. So
Amen.
I would tell you, if you can make it tonight, 1701 Prudential Drive, they're trying to gloss over the fact that we've still got horrible books in public school libraries, middle and high school, and the school counselor's offices. We thought this was resolved. The new Dr. Bernier, hadn't had a chance to do much yet, but he negotiated a $320,000 contract. I think he put in for a $50,000 a year mentorship and a $1,000 car allowance. I don't think that was approved as part of it, but $320,000 salary. Keep that in mind. Let that sink in if money motivates you there, listeners. Our governor only makes $134,000 a year, and we're paying a guy to come into a failing school district that's been failing and is still floundering $320,000 a year. So I emailed this morning, just for your guys' info, President Trump, Governor DeSantis, Education Secretary Manny Diaz Jr., and I also emailed Sheriff T.K. Waters. And the point behind that one is there's a crime being committed, so it was on the tip hotline. And it was about the fact that our school has in it, in the libraries and some of the guidance counselor's offices, books that have pornographic, vulgar, or explicitly vile sexual content. They put the rules in place, the laws in place, guys. We get to walk within the lines and the boundaries of the law that man, and you touched on Romans 13. It's one of my favorite verses. And T.K. Waters, for everybody's information, is a godly man. And he knows all
right.
full well that verse, 13:4, I think it is. Isn't it 13:4? Yeah, for he is God's minister to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So there should be some righteous anger and some raising up about that. As you touched on earlier about a criminal prosecution, a life for a life. It's horrific to think about that. But it's not easy to be an adult. And most of the adults have left the room. And the ones that have it are not standing firm for what they know societally has been the cancer. It's as if we invited cancer in. And what does it do? It kills. It does what John 10:10. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Christ said, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. We've got it, but we've got to act upon it and spread that word and get involved. It only happens once a month that there's a school board meeting, and city council meetings are a little bit more frequently, but the big ones usually once a month. If it's something that you think should change, if not you, who? And if not now, when? We are better people than this, and as Christian nationals, proudly, we should say, yes, we love the Lord. Yes, we're so proud our country is one nation under God. What are we hiding from?
Yes.
Think about it.
We should be willing to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen.
Amen.
In fact, James, I'm looking at a headline, an article. What is the meaning of Christian nationalism?
Exactly.
This article reads in part, in short, Christian nationalism is a desire to have a God-centered nation run by godly people, namely Christians.
Amen, amen.
Therefore,
yep.
Taking back the nation for God. Further, it states, it contends that America has been and should always be distinctively Christian from top to bottom. In itself, self-identity, interpretations of its own history, sacred symbols, cherished values, and public policies all aim to keep it that way as a Christian nation. Now, James, when I read that, some might think, well, this preacher is advocating that we force Christianity on people. That's not the idea.
No.
The idea is having fundamental, foundational basics
yep.
of biblical truth as a focus to stand on and a platform to build on. And by the way, just a question. I'm glad you sent that email to the governor's office. The governor's already had to send major strong notice to our mayor for the mayor saying that she may not sign the new bill that allows illegal invaders to be picked up by local police. He's basically threatened, the governor has basically threatened our mayor saying, you're going to do that or else. And now here it is, we're finding out that porn is still in the books for our classroom and for our students, and they're basically thumbing the nose at it. So it's my prayer, James, that people will hear and heed, and time allowing, that they will be at the school board meeting, and by their standing, their speaking, and I'm not talking about having a, how would you say, a raging fit before the school board, but
no,
standing
Lord, no.
and politely, directly, emphatically stating what is right and what is wrong, and that we will not be silent anymore as Christians. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to stand for the morals, ethics, and values that God has given us, and we're going to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. James, I'm thankful for you. Go ahead.
Oh, it's a privilege. And I would just, one last little nugget that I would think about. Think about where this misinformation and disinformation is coming from. It's the father of lies. The devil, that's what he stands upon, is lies. And he'll twist things. I have a dear, dear friend who's way more educated than I am and got multiple doctorates, and he's a brilliant guy, and I love him dearly. And months back, it's probably been a couple of years now, he and I got in a conversation about this, and he said, oh, I don't want to be... And I had never heard that term up until a few years ago. I don't want to be accused of being a Christian national. And I said, well, hold on a second. And I love this guy. And I looked it up while he was on there, and I read that definition you did. And I said, we want this. We want this. And he goes, wow, that's weird. That's not the way they're portraying it. Well, think about the fact that the devil's time is short. And the more exuberantly and intensely the attacks will come, and Katie bar the door as far as lies flying and twisting the truth. The truth book tells us, and you know this better than I do, Dr. Youngblood, that as these things approach and as these things come, when God describes miracles in the Bible, he talks about it as there's three different things that he labels miracles as. And it's power, and it's strength, and what's the other one? I have to look it up. But anyway, the devil can do deceitful things, and he can do things that make people think, well, gosh, maybe this is from God. Well, no, it's not from God. And
it's what's called demonic deception. That's taking place on a wide-scale basis today in America. And it is my prayer, Jim, that today Christians in the districts that are up for election in the state of Florida will vote. It's my prayer today, Jim, that Christians will pray that God will put a conservative in the Supreme Court seat in Wisconsin, because it will make the difference. Listen, I can't emphasize enough. It will make the difference on what Trump is able to accomplish for the balance of his term based on who goes in that Supreme Court office, that seat in Wisconsin. So it deserves our prayers. And, Jim, it is my prayer that people hear and heed what you're saying. One last thing. I'll just read it for your edification and for our listeners. An article headline, dated 2016. It reads like this: can you be a Christian and a Democrat? I've been asking that for quite some time. We've gotten anger and folks riled up at us because we simply put one of the on our letterboard one of the signs: can or are Democrats really Americans? Question mark. Asking a question. And I'm finding more and more with Sean Hannity and Jesse Waters and others on major news networks are asking the same question now. This article says, can a Christian be a Democrat? And it goes on to talk about Planned Parenthood and what Planned Parenthood is doing by way of murder. It says it's very clear that objectively, the Democratic Party is responsible for and proudly claims responsibility for the murder of about 60 million adult babies by abortion. And then it says, final thing, it says, so should a Christian be a Democrat? It's life and death, and the answer is no. And they base the decision just on one issue, and that is on the issue of abortion. So if nothing else, James, if a person says, I'm a Democrat and I stand for abortion, I stand for the right of a woman to make the decision to commit murder, and if that person says that, it's an impossibility to say also, I'm a Christian. It's an oxymoron. It does not happen. And I believe it's time that we understand that. James, thank you, brother, for your call. And God bless you and keep looking up as our redemption draweth nigh. I believe Jim's on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. How are you this afternoon?
Doing well. I pray that you are.
I'm doing well. That's a hard act to follow there. I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless. Very motivational. My basic prayer for Democrats is that they would hear the truth and see that truth. It often brings me back when I see the things that are occurring in this day and age. That Romans 1:20 says, seeing the divine nature of God, that they will have no excuse when it comes the day of wrath, basically what it boils down to, and that I would pray for anyone that espouses those ideas of abortion or, theft from taxpayers or civil disobedience just based on a dislike from misinformation and propaganda, that they would question why they're doing this and see the truth in the light of Jesus Christ, and so that they won't stand in front of God. Because if you're standing in front of Him and you've never accepted His Son, you're going to have no excuse. You're going to be completely without excuse. How can you look at these times and say, that's a good action? You can't. You can't.
Jim, let me throw something out at this juncture. I've talked with too many socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat party members. I hate to be so, colorful in the statement, but what I have found, so many will say, well, they don't say I'm bifurcating my life. They say that's my political life, my political journey, my political life, my political beliefs have nothing to do with my spirituality. I'm saved. I love Jesus Christ, but I'm a Democrat. How do you answer that, trying to bifurcate reality? Can a person truly bifurcate themselves in such a way that they say, well, you know, I'm going to think like a Democrat, act like a Democrat, talk like a Democrat, but I'm also going to proclaim the fact that I'm a Christ lover and a Christ follower? Is that possible? Is it, or is it just words, or have they demonically deceived themselves?
That is impossible to do, because once you've found Christ, charitable actions and acts will follow because you know the truth. If you're stating that, you're doing a disservice to the Word of God. You cannot say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ and then turn around and endorse murder. It's impossible.
Absolutely. Let me switch gears for just a moment, Jim, if you don't mind. I'm looking at headlines, says egregious abuse. School security forces teen to get COVID shot and now faces the music. Parents have the longstanding right to direct the upbringing of their children, the right to make medical decisions on their behalf. a school district student received the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine from that school assigned to the U.S. Naval Hospital during vaccination distribution, et cetera, et cetera. The Supreme Court of North Carolina has determined that a public school system that, without permission from the student or the parent and without informing the parents forcibly, gave a 14-year-old boy the COVID-19 shot can be sued for abuse. Now, the question, Jim, that I have, right now, there's a sense of incredulity by the Democrats, because they're saying that Trump is going to shut down, dismantle the U.S. Department of Education. And the U.S. Department of Education, through the National Educational Association, Randy Weinberger, the lesbian female that's head of the union for that, not having fits, and our students are going to die without learning. They're going to go as illiterates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But yet they were pushing this in the schools. So, question. Is it good to dismantle the U.S. Department of Education? Will it relieve, in your opinion, relieve problems like this, where present in the future tense, where a student will be handled based on the Department of Education's agenda rather than based on the parent's authority and responsibility? How do you see it?
I see the Department of Education. I was a young adult. Well, I was old enough to understand when it was formed in 1978. Jimmy Carter's vice president, his brother was then involved with the teachers' union, the government teachers' union, and that department was formed. Since that day, the curriculum and the test scores worldwide for the United States, we went from number one in the world in math, engineering, and science to we're not even in the top 50, I think, right now. So this department is a complete bureaucracy without accountability and has done nothing to educate the youth of America, and has done everything in its power to take away the parents' right and the state's right to educate the upcoming generation for the skills and what's necessary to propagate the future, you know, because our children are our future, plain and simple.
So, Jim, would you say then, just as we have just heard you and as I've stated, can we then ascertain that Democrats are against proper education for the child and that Democrats are for the child being controlled by the state and by government rather than by the parents? Could that be a right understanding of a trickle-down of what is said with that?
Oh, yeah, I could definitely extrapolate that exact statement there. To me, I've always said follow the money. This has nothing to do with the children.
Absolutely. And right now, I've got a headline that says Elon Musk claims millions of non-citizens receive Social Security numbers. Mind-blowing. 3 million got Social Security numbers. The Department of Government Efficiency and Elon Musk on Sunday claimed that millions of non-citizens have already received Social Security numbers from the federal government. And it goes back to the Biden administration that at least between 3 and 5 million today, the illegal invaders that came into America have Social Security numbers that they've been given. So with that being said, Elon Musk talks about the program where Social Security checks are going out to people that are not citizens, that are not legally entitled to them, and he's going to stop it. And yet, wanting to stop that aspect of fraud and abuse, the left, the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, are screaming that Elon Musk must be stopped, that he cannot do that. What say you? Should we cancel those Social Security numbers of those that are illegal invaders that are not citizens? Should we cancel that, or we should continue to allow it? The Democrats say we need to continue to allow it.
I say it's robbing the current generation and the future generation of benefits that they've rightfully worked for. Whereas you've got a section of this population that crossed the border illegally and now have a social. Let's look at it this way. Let's say I'm a 50-year-old Honduran and I came to the United States in 2024. I've got a security. There's no way that I'm going to work or contribute enough to the United States economy to be able to claim benefits of any nature that will help propagate or help the state, in this case the United States, out. So I'm robbing the system by virtue of coming here illegally. I bring nothing to the table then. I take everything from the table and from those that are here that are citizens that have worked their entire life.
But now the opposite of that statement, Jim, is on the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic side. They're saying that Elon Musk is wanting to, through Musk and President Donald J. Trump, wanting to shut down Social Security, wanting to rob our Social Security, wanting to cancel people. In fact, they're trying to get old people in America frightened that Elon Musk and Donald Trump's going to take their Social Security check. That is the mindset, and it's the 100% opposite of the truth. If there are billions being stolen out of the Social Security account, Social Security account's bankrupt already, but if billions are being taken out of what is called Social Security, that means that it needs to be clawed back and made to be solvent so that those of us that have paid in can continue to have without it being taken away. But the opposite, it goes back to my starting premise in the broadcast today, Isaiah 5:20. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Listen, that's exactly what we see taking place, the modus operandi with the Democratic Party today. And that's what frightens me, to see that so many Christians are willing to identify with that and to have so many, quote, Christians and churches and pastors that will get uptight and angry with a pastor or a Christian or a church that will stand for truth and identify these flaws and these things that can destroy our nation. I call myself, again, a Christian nationalist, and I believe that every Christian should stand for the Word of God. Every Christian should stand for the truth of God's Word. Every Christian should stand for a witness for Jesus Christ and be salt and light in the darkened world that we're living in. What's you?
Amen.
Well said.
I agree 100%.
Well said. Jim, thank you so much, brother, for
thank
your call.
Sir.
Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We've got time for one short call. If you want to pick up the phone quickly and put your words in before the broadcast is over. But Elon Musk, I'm thankful for him. Thankful that God's using him at the oversight and direction of President Trump. I'm looking at headlines that FCC launches a probe in Disney over DEI practices. We have Disney, ladies and gentlemen, that's saying, in essence, we don't have to obey the law of the land. We don't have to abide by the edicts and the executive orders of Donald J. Trump. We're going to flagrantly just throw those underfoot. I'm glad to see these things taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Tune in next time as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.